I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we have our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul, on the show every month to talk health and the healing process. And today we're going to kick off our conversation about two things, spinal health and how stress impacts that health and healing process. And we will also take your questions. So you can text those questions in now if you'd like, 877-933-2484. I saw a question already come in. Somebody's an overachiever. They sent it before the show even started. I love it. We'll get to that one in just a moment. A quick caveat, though. Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the air, and his advice is not meant to take the place of your physician. This, really, the purpose of this is Dr. Troy is passionate about your health. I'm passionate about your health. We both firmly believe that every step towards health and healing matters. And we do live in a society and in a day where we're very quick to treat symptoms and not to get to root causes. But if we can develop the habit and the practice of being proactive about our health, of getting to root causes, of not being so quick to just get rid of a symptom, to ask the question, why is this happening, so that I can move towards greater sustainable health? That's why we're here. So hopefully you will find some great encouragement here today. Again, text your questions to 877-933-2484. Quick announcement, if you have a dream of getting published, you've got to consider meeting us at the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference this July. And we have limited seating because of COVID regulations. We'll also do an online version where you can watch the watch all the sessions after the fact. But there's nothing like an in-person meeting. We've got incredible faculty and keynotes. I don't want you to miss it. If you've got a dream, I've just connected with a couple of people who went to the conferences, did the one-on-one, took the advice, and are now published authors. So we like to make it kind of a place where dreams come true. Would you join us? You can find more information. Just search NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is the founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
It is so good to be here.
Looking forward to this conversation. I really am. There's so much I want to talk with you about. But let's start here. First and foremost, always most important, what verse you've been thinking about these days?
This is Isaiah 35, and I encourage everyone just to look at the entire 1 through 10. I'm just going to read a segment of it, but it's a poem, and I heard it in its native language, and it's just beautiful, but it's basically Joy of the Redeemed, and I'm going to read part 35:3-4. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come.
Wow.
And it's about God showing up in your life, mm-hmm. and what can happen and just the healing that occurs when he shows up. And the poem is just in Isaiah's time. I mean, he was given a huge task.
Yeah.
And what he had to do and what he was, it looked impossible. And absolutely looked impossible. And whether you're suffering with whatever, and this last year we're going to be talking about stress, a lot of people just feel the impossible, and that's when God shows up. And you will know when God shows up because everything changes. Healing occurs, spiritual healing, physical healing, it all changes. And that's what happened with Isaiah. So I love the entire passage there with the whole joy of the redeemed and read that. And it just, it helps me not feel so alone and that God's got this, he's in control, and that we're supposed to seek God.
Amen.
Especially when we feel feeble need and just weak and just without, and that's when we need God the most, and we will know when he shows up.
Come on, let's start the show out with an amen. I need some amens. You got to text me. I got one from Troy. How about you? Text me 877-933-2484. You know what stands out to me about that passage, Doc, is that when you start to feel feeble and weak need, you start to think a lot about how you feel. As someone who, you know, deals with this stuff, it is amazing when you move into a place of weariness or fatigue. And now mine's physical at times, but it can be emotional. It can be, you know, spiritual, whatever. When you cross over to a certain point, your thoughts turn inward to how you feel. And if you think too long about how you feel, you only feel more of the same. So I love that he's like almost saying, snap out of it, strengthen your weak knees, take a firmer grip. And it's also that passage in Hebrews that says basically the same thing. Mark out a straight path for your feet, and the rest of the Hebrews passages, so that those who are lame don't fall out of the race. So they're watching you. So there's something to be said about engaging, going, you know, and it is a little bit of a buck up, buttercup. Engage, and now let's see what God's going to do. You know,
yeah, and it's also a promise. I mean, this is a promise from God. So when we realize that, we get out of our own way. I mean, that's what he's asking us to do. It's like, get out of the way so God can get in there and do what he needs to do with you. And so I love the promise aspect of it. And I know that if I have that promise and I hold on to that promise, that change is going to come. It may not be on my timeline. It's always going to be on God's.
But he moves.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you just got to know, we got a bunch of amens. I love our listeners. They're engaged and they love you, Doc. So I know that. So I talked about, and we're going to open our conversation today talking both spinal health and the impact stress has on the healing process. So hopefully this is a really practical help. But I just got to give a shout out to Sarah, Kathy, Nancy, Anonymous Medicine, and we'll get to a number of your questions. Okay. So we want to talk about, spinal health. So this dear listener, the overachiever who sent this in before the show, I love it. So can you recommend a way to strengthen neck muscles? I have lots of trouble with maintaining the neck sleep adjustment. And I want to piggyback on that as I talked to you before the show. When I was young, I went through the windshield, wrecked my neck, and you helped restore the curve in my neck. But like doing Pilates, I cannot get strength in my neck. It's like I have to put my hands behind my head. Yeah. And if I don't, my neck will pop out of joint. Like I've got zero strength. So maybe speak to her question and mine. Maybe they're two different answers. I don't know.
Well, we can expand on that. So when it comes to just spinal health in general, a lot of people think of their spine as bones, which is true. It's our bones. But really, the impact of everything that affects us is the nerves and the muscles around those bones. So the bones protect our spinal cord, and then the spinal cord, the nerves come out from that and go to all of our muscles and all of our organs in our entire body. And so really it's like an encasing to protect our best form of communication. Mm. Now the muscles that hold those bones in place are on the left, on the right, on the front and the back. So I'm going to make it real simple. It's actually quite a bit more than that. There's different angles and everything, but you want to have them as balanced as possible. So if the muscles on the right are pulling more than the muscles on the left, you will feel that some way as a physical discomfort, or sometimes the nerves that are embedded in those muscles send signals back up to the brain at a different rate than the other side, and it can actually impact the left or right side of the brain. So pain can eventually cause depression or can trigger an anxiety reaction, or when the spine is not 100% aligned, it can actually influence your organs internally because they meet up at the spinal cord in what's called neuronal pools. And so you can actually, from a physical spine problem with the muscles, have sluggish bowels or have a pancreas or a liver that's not working as efficiently. There is an impact. There's a lot of other nerves that play into that. But a healthy spine can equal a better, more optimized digestive system. It can equal an improved bladder elimination. A lot of different factors as far as what can happen internally. It can affect our mindset as well. Hmm. So we're more reactive potentially, and we don't even know it, that it can be coming from the spine. So it's a two-way street as far as how the brain and the spine communicate, and it's really the muscles around the spine. When chiropractors adjust the spine, they're really getting a net impact of stretching the muscles around the bones to do what's called resetting the gain. So they're resetting the length of the muscles to try and achieve more of a balanced between the left and the right and the front and the back. Now, some of the things that can throw it off, like you're talking about, old injuries can definitely cause an area to be more unstable. And the only thing you can do there is with physical therapy and exercises, rehab it back as best as possible and stay on top of that. So certain exercises can help with that. More commonly, what affects our neck, and to her question, when a neck is not holding adjustments properly, it means there's something else influencing the nerves at the spinal cord or in the brain above it that has to be addressed. Something else is throwing the gain of the muscles off. That it could be the most common one for neck muscles are sinuses and digestive inflammation.
Wow.
So when your sinuses are not right or something's off a little bit, it can weaken the muscles on the front of the neck. When your digestive system is not right, it tightens the muscles on the back of the neck. So you have to discern through that a little bit. So our environment is really important when it comes to our neck muscles in particular. And then sometimes there's a physical problem in the hips or the pelvis. That's the foundation we walk on. And if you're walking on a foundation that's not level, it can slowly affect the neck and the upper back and the neck further up. It's kind of like that song, the knee bones connected to the... I'm not going to sing it because I want people to keep listening.
You know, that's so interesting because, you know, maybe you've ever felt this before where you've got something that's a little out in your spine and you can't carry normal weight that you can because everything goes weak.
Yes.
Just a little lower in the spine, it's more pronounced and you notice it, right?
Absolutely.
And then you get adjusted and then suddenly you're back to normal strength again. And some are terrified of chiropractic adjustments because... You know, not all chiropractors are the same, and you do hear horror stories.
Yeah.
So I you know, be very selective about who you let adjust your spine. Right?
Well, absolutely, and know your spine. So I have patients who I will never adjust because of their spine. So their spine is so stiff that it's not worth adjusting. So you work on the muscles around it, and you don't ever adjust. So there's amplitude changes. So some people require higher amplitude adjustments to stretch the muscles to get it to hold. Some people require very, very gentle adjustments to just make subtle changes that works better for them. So we always tell our people, you have upper and lower thresholds. If you do too much, too aggressive an adjustment, you can exceed their upper threshold. But if you don't do enough, then you're not making enough change. So you have to find what the person is capable of accepting, if you will, that actually has a net benefit. And so there's a little bit of trial and error there, and many chiropractors do measure things like that. And there is the difference between, I would say, chiropractors and surgeons, I would say there's almost an art to what they do, whereas some doctors, you don't necessarily need that art part of it. But with chiropractic, there's a touch. With surgery, you want to have a skilled surgeon who's got the touch, if you will. And so there's a bit of an art to it as well. And so you can kind of tell when they have the touch and when they don't. And there's just many, many different ways to actually make that net impact. I have some chiropractic colleagues that never adjust manually that get tremendous results by working on the spine. And so if that's a fit for you, then that's the type of chiropractor you should see.
Oh, very good. Talking to Dr. Troy Spurl. He joins us once a month to talk about health and the healing process. As we always like to do, we pick a couple topics just to unpack for a little bit that everybody can benefit from. Spinal health. I'm going to look through the texts that have come in to see if there are more questions on spinal health. We'll also address the impact stress has on the healing process and even on our immunities. And that applies to all of us. And then I'll sort of sort through on the break other questions that have just come in. We welcome yours as well. Text 877-933-2484. Back in a minute.
Every day, every breath, every moment I'm living, every beat of my heart, every morning I'm giving. I'm a soul, so grateful, so lost in wonder.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Oh, that song just makes me happy. Well, guess what? Every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show. He's founder, CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And he comes to talk about health and the healing process. And we pick a couple topics to unpack before we start taking questions, unless those questions tie into the topic. But send your questions. We're going to get to as many as we can throughout the show. But we're talking spinal health, and then we're going to talk about stress's impact on our healing process. You can text 877-933-2484. So, Doc, before I even get to a couple of these other spinal health questions, you wanted to say more about our spine and the learning process or something?
Yeah, so the area of the brain that helps regulate the deep muscles of the spine is called the cerebellum, and all memory goes through there as well. So when it also the nerves start in the cerebellum. They go to the spinal cord or the midbrain area, and they go up and they control the movement of our eyes, and then they go down and they control the deep spinal muscles. It's what helps keep our balance. Our core muscles as well are part of it. So a strong core and eye movement helps actually stabilize the spinal muscles quite a bit. But so does learning. So does being physically active, using your muscles to coordinate. But learning new things actually helps with the spinal muscles, getting some level of stimulus to the spine. So people who are constantly moving and learning will do very well with their spinal control, even with even with the odds stacked against them. That's a good way of saying it.
Wow.
Exactly right. So as best you can, keep moving. Motion is life, and keep learning, and enjoy it. Try not to learn it and then critique it, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, enjoy the learning process if you can. So it's got to be something that you're enjoying too.
I once heard a functional coach talk about holding your face like in front of the mirror, so you make sure your head's not tilted, because some of us have a head that tilts one way, right? So it's upright, and then looking up really slow in a circle five times, and then turning, and then look. So picture looking, kind of creating a circle with your eyes clockwise, slowly five times, and then go the other way. What does that accomplish? Is that kind of
activating the cerebellum, and it's actually called a sensory trick, what they discovered there. So
what does it do?
So anytime you do an action, picture flexing a bicep right now. For those, I know you can't see this, it's radio, but I'm flexing
bursting.
This really big bicep.
Yes.
If you're flexing a bicep, there's an action involved there. The nerve sends a signal and then fires to the muscle and causes an action. When you use your muscles in the eyes, it sends a signal back to the cerebellum. So picture that area of the brain just lighting up because you're using that. Mm. So you're activating and exercising the area of the brain. So if we had that under a PET scan, we'd see it just start to light up by moving your eyes. And that's the muscle memory part of the brain. And then there's a net effect of once those nerves hit threshold, they'll start sending signals to all of the other places in the body that it controls. So even moving your eyes will send weak signals back to the spinal cord. It'll improve the processes of learning. So what they're doing it for is to help the learning centers. And as the cerebellum fires, it's GABA dependent, which means it helps to calm the brain. So I think we had spoke once about if your brain is worrying, it literally inhibits the problem-solving part of the brain. So what she's doing there is helping you overcome writer's block. Because what you're doing is slowing down, inhibiting the area of the brain that deals with worrying or looking at the problem, and that thus upregulates the frontal cortex, which helps with the problem-solving part of the brain, which means you get to see what your next sentence would be or, you know, expressing yourself a little differently. You can't worry and problem-solve at the same time.
Right.
So it's the same type of thing.
Interesting.
So,
wow.
And that's a sensory trick there's a lot of them out there that people have developed in whatever career they're in, and they'll explain it to me, and we'll see that in a neurologic way as this is what you're doing. You're shifting things from the amygdala to the prefrontal cortex or from the cerebellum to the brainstem and down the spinal cord.
And to which you say, that's what I meant to do.
Yes.
So, you know, if you picture sitting in front of a mirror and holding your head steady to make sure your head is and slow, slow, slow. And she said you might get dizzy. So you just kind of pause, close your eyes, open them back up and start again. But it's a really good, and you feel it because you feel how weak your eye muscles are, you know.
Yeah.
When you talk about learning new things, and we'll get to stress here in just a little bit, but, you know, what do you think of like these activity books where you're doing either crossword or word search? I mean, it's not exactly learning things, but you're exercising your brain. Does that accomplish something similar?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. And,
and
we
and
do recommend them. It is a de-stressor because as you are using the left side of the brain, that'll inhibit the right side of the brain a little bit. The right side of the brain deals more with emotions. Left side's more analytical. So as you're doing these things, it'll help to slow down the escape of the right brain. So the right brain, when it's firing too much, that's our emotional brain. We become a little bit more overreactive with our emotions when we get that left brain really firing. That's why some guys who are perceived as a little stiff and stoic and unemotional, well, if they're accountants who are constantly working that left brain, That's why. They're constantly shutting down.
No word search for you, dude.
No word search for you. We need you to watch Oprah
Hallmark.
Or something. I don't know. Hallmark. That's a good one.
Yeah. Interesting. Excuse me. So this listener says, it's Madison. She says, how does cracking your neck or back impact the spine? I've gotten into a bad habit of being able to crack only one side of my neck. I've noticed that it's a lot tighter. Just cracking the neck impact the muscles around the neck.
So great question. I get this a lot. And almost every chiropractor will tell you, don't crack your own neck. It's not good. But I actually don't say that. So
oh, wow.
This is my take on it.
Okay.
If you stretch and your neck pops. Now, first of all, the pop is not bones cracking. I want to say this. When your spine cavitates, that's the actual name for it, your spine is actually suction cupped together. The joints are. And so when you are stretching and you stretch enough and you hear that little noise, that noise, that's actually the release of that suction cup, and that's gases being released, oxygen, nitrogen. So there are gases within the suction cupped joint. So it's not bones cracking. So with that being said, if you stretch and you don't have pain afterwards and you feel better with the popping, it's a good stretch. That's how I see it. But if you can only do one side and not the other side, and if you stretch and it's constantly cracking, it means you're not balanced. That means there's something else going on that's setting up an imbalance in your system to get that suction cupped joint out of alignment, and it needs to be brought back in. So always look for what's setting up the root cause. So adjustments can help with that. And if you get adjusted or need to stretch to adjust the same spot over and over and over again, there's something else setting that up. It can be a challenge to try and find out what that is, but it can be, and sometimes, well, you know, with mold and Lyme, those things can rear their ugly heads, and then you've got consequences to that. So there are a lot of factors, and we have some patients that when we've identified a problem, and I think on our website there's a testimony of Mary, and she had colitis severely and needed adjustments by a chiropractor 3 times a week just to stay out of pain and discomfort. And I said, when we get this right, you won't need adjustments nearly as much. And she said, yeah, right, I'll believe that when I see it. And long story short, we were able to stop the colitis and bleeding for 15 years, and now she's 2-3 years removed without incident and doing well, last I heard. And last time she was in, which is over 6 months ago, it wasn't even for her neck, it was for her back. So she's gone a full 6 months without needing a neck adjustment when it was 3 times a week. So you do have to have some discernment there. And sometimes we get a healing like that where it was this one major thing and didn't need the adjustments. Many times there's multiple mental, chemical, and physical stressors that can contribute. So
Wow, good. All right, we're going to pause here. And Teresa writes in, Dr. Troy, what would be the best type of mattress and pillow to help with spine health? One story I do know is when Doc and his wife are at a hotel and they like the bed, they whip off all the sheets to find the label. And they're like, we're getting this.
That's exactly right.
I know that to be true. But I would love to know if you have suggestions on what to look for.
Yep.
And I know this is wrong, but my mattress is probably 20 years old. That's terrible. I just realized it just now. I got to do something. Honey, if you're listening, we got to talk. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute. Glad to have you listening to Susie Larson Live. My guest is our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurrell. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. And this is one of those times, this happens once in a while, where we always start with a couple of conversation topics and see where it takes us, and then we answer questions as they come in. Excuse me. So the couple of things we wanted to talk about today was spinal health. I can't believe after all these years and all the shows we've done, we've never addressed that, but also the impact stress has on the healing process. And one of the questions Teresa texted in, I'm trying to find it now in this long list of questions, but if you remember, I read it to you during the break, is it what's the best mattress and pillow for spinal health? That was the question.
And again, that'll be very different. So I stopped recommending mattresses years ago because as soon as I thought I got a good one for someone, they'd come back and say that didn't work, and it just didn't work.
So it's so unique, isn't it?
It's very unique to each and every person. So what I've said is what my wife and I have done is when we go travel, if we ever have a really good sleep, the both of us, we will tear that mattress apart. Not the mattress, tear the bedding apart, everything. We'll take pictures of the actual tags and everything. Don't rip them off. I hear that's a federal offense. But, but you do, you take pictures and everything, and you recreate that at home, and that's what we did. And that's why I tell people, and the thing about mattresses, they all come with warranties, at least the good ones. And so you can return them, which is a bit of a pain, but it's better to get this right. Because literally, you spend a third of your life on your mattress. It's more important than the car that you buy. And so the mattress itself, I tell people, find out where you get a good sleep. Do not hesitate to return it if you don't get a good sleep. And they all, I've had every single one. Memory foam. I've had, what are some of the other ones? The
Pillow top. Sleep
and the
number.
Sleep number beds. Some people swear by them. Other patients can't. Can't do it. So you have to, I tell people to just try and book different hotel chains when they're traveling, and you will find what works for you. And we're surprised what ended up being best for us. Yeah.
Interesting.
But that's the best way to look at and try and decide.
And how about pillows? Do you prefer people sleep on their back because there's a lot of side sleepers, or is that not a non-issue if you've got the right pillow?
So what's most important is whether or not you're getting into deep sleep. So if you sleep on your back and your tongue kind of falls back in your airway, or you snore, not the best position. So most people, if you can sleep on your back, that's great. If you can sleep on your side, you have to have a strong core. Otherwise, you can start throwing things off while you're sleeping in your shoulders or in your hips. And sometimes when it comes to the pillow, I'm actually not a fan of chiropractic pillows with the curve in there and everything. I like a pillow that you can fold up and change.
And fit in.
Into you. So I use my pillow at home because they're thin ones, because that's what I can manipulate. So I like a pillow you can actually manipulate. And the old feather pillows, when you don't have a feather allergy, you could do that too. So We've advanced our pillows so much that that we've advanced them right out of being effective for us.
Yeah, right, exactly. Interesting. This one, I'd like to know Dr. Troy's recommendation for balancing out anterior pelvic tilt, lordosis, and kyphosis of the spine.
So that if there's kyphosis happens in the thoracic spine, that's the mid-back, and lordosis happens in the lumbar spine with an anterior pelvis, that is a weak lower core. So if there's an intestinal... If there's an intestinal inflammatory problem, you actually have to address the intestinal inflammatory problem because that'll keep weakening the core. And to address the pelvic tilt, you can actually stick blocks or towels underneath your glutes while you're lying on your back, and you do leg lifts and you do little knee bends and pull them up to your abdomen. You want to get the lower core working, and then bring your arms up over your head while you're lying down. And that'll strengthen the muscles that help with the kyphosis. When you're standing, then you go up against the wall and you do pelvic tilts, and you have to make sure the pelvis is moving and you pull the belly button up and in while you do the wall angels. We've talked about that in the past, but the exercise is called wall angels, where you're pushing your arms back against the wall and doing almost like a snow angel, but your elbows are bent at 90 degrees. If the kyphosis is large, and depending on how old you are, children and teenagers can still get their arms back there, but as you get into your 30s, 40s, and beyond, you might be 6 or 8 inches off the wall, and you still do it. You just got to slowly work and get it back. It takes a long, long time.
And that wall angel thing actually activates the brain too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's part of the, it focuses on your extensors. It strengthens the core through the cerebellum that we spoke about earlier.
Interesting.
It'll stimulate the brain that way.
Wow. You know, we probably should have devoted the whole show to spinal health because we've got, 20 minutes left and there's so much more here. But I promised to talk about stress, and you said you've been observing the measure of stress, its impact on how people are healing or not.
Yeah. 2020 has been an interesting year. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
And we had a meeting because we had observed that stuff protocols we've been using for 15, 20 years that you can just take it to the bank. We know they're going to take 6 weeks or 8 weeks longest. All of a sudden, we're taking 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks for people to get through the protocols. And whenever we see that, and it wasn't just one doctor, we all kind of, every day we kind of meet and talk. And then at our once a week, we have a more extended meeting, and we were all expressing the same thing. So it was all of us seeing the same thing. And so we assessed what was going on. And we looked at, was there a change in the supplements we're using, a change in the food for the diet that we're using? Because all of those things matter. If a supplement company's been sold, sometimes they'll start to change the quality of the ingredients. And that's how we know, based on our outcomes, it's not working. Well, we essentially boiled it down. The one common denominator was stress. The people that were not healing it fast enough all were struggling with stress because of whatever was going on in their life, whatever they were stressed about within the year 2020. So stress literally was slowing down our recovery rates 20-30%.
Wow.
Just in the global stress. And we've had people... the opposite of that. I've had some people going through COVID where they've had to work from home and they realized, holy smokes, my stress levels are decreased by 90%. I'm doing so much better. They love it. And all of a sudden they don't need adjusted as much as more.
Interesting.
And so we saw the exact opposite occur too.
Wow.
So it just depends. I always ask people when they say I'm working from home, I find out which camp they're in. I said, are you doing better, feeling better? Yes, I feel amazing because now I exercise at home when I wasn't at work. I can get up, walk around. I've got all my stuff there. And then the next person will come in and say, no, I'm miserable. This is way worse. I've got bad food at the house. My kids are there coming into my office and I love my kids, but, I can't get my work done. My stress is, whatever it is. So we've seen both ends of that spectrum. That's just how important stress is to our healing process.
And for the person who feels like, I can't help it, I have to work at home, but it's not an ideal situation. I'm stressed about money. I'm stressed about the private battles under my own roof. And then I turn on the news and I have to turn it off again because that is too much for me. You know what? I'm writing a blog post for today's show. We write one every week and we decide to do it on today's show. The idea that even though it feels like we're out of options, we always have options. Even though we're in, under stress, we're actually under the mercies of God. He will provide ways, and there are practical ways to manage the stress we're under, aren't there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Whenever we always say, whenever you get stuck, ask a better question. And then be silent. Let God speak to you, either through other people or directly to you. But the reality is, when dysfunction only occurs when there's a breakdown in communication between the brain and the body, between cell and cell, and between you and God. And so restore that communication. So if you're stuck, if you're stressed, first seek God. When you seek God, then just listen. Now, sometimes he's silent, sometimes he's not. And so just be present, be still when it comes to seeking God. When it comes to other practical stuff, get up and move, change your environment and make sure your environment is as clean as possible as far as the air, the water, the food that you're consuming. And just take a look and see what bad habits you might be having in the environment you're in that aren't in the work environment.
And things you can do something about.
Absolutely.
Right?
You
and
have
it could even
control.
Be your thought process.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We've got to ask Joseph's question for an obvious reason when you hear it. Dr. Susie and Dr. Troy. This is why we're taking this question. I love you, Joseph. I'm sorry. That was funny to me. But anyway, could you please speak, here we go, on autoimmunity, specifically Hashimoto's, fibromyalgia, generally speaking, was wondering common causes, testing, supplements, and treatment options. Thank you, Joseph, for that question. You made me smile. But those are, we've got loved ones dealing with those very diagnoses. So what do you say?
You want me to handle that one?
Yeah. That made my day too. You take this one, Doc.
Okay. So for those who don't know, Hashimoto's is antibodies against the thyroid. Fibromyalgia is pain in the muscles, joints, in a very specific pattern. And so I'm going to say this. There's similarities between both of them. And when it comes to autoimmune disease, specifically against the thyroid, there's a whole bunch of things that have to be looked at and addressed. There's 8 reasons why we get autoimmune. Stress is one of them. So it could be a single stressful event or multiple long-term stress, environmental chemicals, hormone imbalances, including estrogen, even for men, because we can be exposed to a lot of estrogen, especially if you've lost your gallbladder or have had gallbladder issues. That's one of the signs of estrogen toxicity or excess in men.
Wow.
And then low vitamin D, iodine that's too low or too high. Usually it's too low. Where it's iodine is the number one deficiency worldwide. It comes from salt water, and we've moved away from the ocean. In Jesus' day, they all lived by the ocean, and we have moved away from that. And so we do not get the levels of iodine that we used to get. And with Hashimoto's in particular, when we don't have enough iodine, there's a buildup of H2O2, hydrogen peroxide, and it starts to destroy an enzyme within the thyroid called TPO, and then we create antibodies against that. So that's one way that we can get autoimmune, and it's from not having enough iodine. And environmental chemicals decrease our glutathione, which is the main antioxidant to help with that detox process. Heavy metals can do it. Infections can do it. And inflammation can do it as well. And then blood sugar dysregulation. So we have to identify what was the one area or multiple areas that helped set up the autoimmunity. We have to make sure you don't have leaky gut. So there are books out there that will walk you through diet. Amy Myers has one, one of the original books, and was written by someone, he and I are both trained by the same people. Dr. Datis Karizian wrote the book many years ago about thyroid Hashimoto's. And so his is a little bit too sciencey, I'm going to say, but there's some really good books out there now by some doctors that are writing that the Hashimoto's protocol is another one. And that one's very, very good for autoimmune, and it kind of walks you through the diet and the supplements to take in general. What we like to do is actually measure the individual to see which supplements are actually needed instead of just looking at all eight. Now, the thing about fibromyalgia is it's very important to clear out the acids from the body. And so it depends on whether or not the autoimmune is causing a buildup in acids too. And there's one particular acid called oxalic acid that builds up when you have too much glyphosate, which is the active ingredient from Roundup, when you have fungal, yeast, or mold buildup in the body and from certain foods. And that induces and causes fibromyalgia. That's one of the causes. Also, B1 deficiency can create a fight or flight scenario where you are constantly in a fight or flight state. And when you're not absorbing B1 properly, it's called beriberi. If you're in a third world country, they get it a lot. But in the United States, you can actually end up getting something called gastrointestinal beriberi. And beriberi in English literally means I can't, I just can't.
Wow.
And so that deficiency, people will get stuck in that fight or flight state versus the rest and digest state. And so they can't heal their leaky gut. And then they end up creating the acids that cause fibromyalgia. With fibromyalgia, we've always, always found a sleep disorder as well. We've never had one of our fibromyalgia patients not have a sleep disorder. With women, we've also found a very large emotional connection. And with men, it's about 50% of the time. So there might be some undealt with things there that have to be applied. Usually it's forgiveness or worry or something like that has to be addressed, or something from the past that has not been dealt with. So it's very important. We are seeing a big increase in both of these disorders, and it's because of the world we live in right now, and infections
stress,
and
the
stress,
toxicity,
all of it plays into it. So our body is, our defense mechanisms are breaking down, and there's a lot you can do to protect yourself against that innate or to help your innate immune system response. We have to slow life down in some ways and support our foundational parts of us. But that there's so much more. I can do a whole weekend on just those two topics based on how much information is out there. But some of those books from Dr. Amy Myers and the protocol book are so good. Hashimoto's Protocol.
Well,
Wentz is the author on that one.
I think we need to think long, and we've talked about this a lot when we talk to Dr. Troy. Think long on your health plan, because again, because we get so, we want just quick relief and not feel the symptoms, and we don't want to look at the root cause, we really make our put ourselves in a position that we don't need to. But if you can think long, have patience, you actually can recover from some of these things. But it's not an overnight thing. My situation is not overnight either. But every inch of ground I gain makes me more fierce to want the rest of it. And I want that for you as well. So think long. And again, it's not just enough to stop the bad stuff. You want to put in the good stuff, right? Having a great conversation with Dr. Troy Spurrell. And I see more questions that have come in. I'll tackle those during the break, and we'll answer as many as we can when we come back. Back in a minute. You're having a really wonderful day. We are having a great conversation here with Dr. Troy Spurrell, who joins me on the show once a month to talk about health and the healing process. We want hope to make a comeback, but you know what? God wants you to partner with him. And there are things you can do, steps you can take, each and every one of us, towards a more healthy and healed us, right? And so we got to think long and be in this game to win. And I really do believe that as you take the steps and you do what you can do, then you ask God to do what only he can do, you will move into a place of greater health, even in your latter years. You know, Dr. Troy always says, don't let your age be your cage. So we've got a number of questions here and just a little bit of time left. This one says, Dr. Troy, I recently had COVID. Now I feel full after eating half of what I normally eat. It feels like the food is just sitting in my throat. Digestion is slow. Anything I can do to get appetite and digestion back, or is it just a matter of time?
This is actually pretty common. We've been seeing it with a lot of our COVID patients when after the fact. And one of the things I can say is there are some after effects of all viruses. COVID in particular, though, can affect the thyroid in men and women. And earlier when we were talking about autoimmune, all viruses, mono, other viruses can induce an autoimmune at the same time. Flu virus can do that too, if the environment's right for it. So I'm going to speak to this part first. It's important to get your innate immune response as healthy as possible. And to support your innate immune response, those are things like zinc and vitamin D, melatonin and vitamin C. They work really well to get your innate immune response up. So the research is very clear right now that people with innate immune response, these were the ones who had the asymptomatic components to COVID. Well, I want everyone to hear that we all have that potential. So all of us could have that type of response if we had our levels of our innate cells up like theirs were. So vitamin D is the most important part of that. Now, what she's describing there is when the bile duct and the liver system becomes congested. So you want to do a liver-friendly diet. If you see a doctor or a chiropractor or anyone who's well-versed in opening up the bile duct, it can be as simple as that. Some of the COVID patients I've treated in their 80s, we had to constantly open that up while they were going through it during the stages of COVID. And after about 2 weeks, it was better. And so things like milk thistle actually help with that. Things that hurt that are alcohol, coffee or caffeine, inflammatory foods, medications and hormones, and some medications actually slow that process down. So it's all about opening up that bile duct. And then sometimes the stomach kind of gets caught on the diaphragm, even from having a cough. And so that causes what's called a functional hiatal hernia, and that needs to be pulled down. Sometimes you can do that by doing a fast for 24 hours and then coughing. And then you end up getting it pulled back down itself.
Or drink a whole bunch of water and jump up and down.
Or
that's my
drink
favorite.
A whole bunch of water. That's the other way. That's the opposite of the fast. That's the other one
it's
you can do.
It's just more fun, I'm just
it
saying.
It is. So both of those work. It's not, I don't want to be scared by that. It's not actually that difficult to treat or correct. Might need a little extra attention. And it can go away on its own. Anything that gets the bile moving. So make sure the bowels are moving. You're not constipated. And that helps as well. Mm. And once things start flushing and moving, it works well. And if there's anyone that can actually manipulate that bile duct, open it up, then that speeds it up to a matter of a week or two.
Wow, that's amazing. Another listener said that their son tested positive for COVID, had COVID in November. 2 weeks later, tested negative. That was November. Still has symptoms. Anything they can do to help recover?
So it really depends what the symptoms are. So there's been what they call long haulers, and there are people who where the COVID is acting like Lyme. And so basically it gets treated like Lyme. So we've been treating them like Lyme, successfully helping.
What do you do?
Well, you have to, it's like an infection. It's like the what do you call it? Co-infections start to come back up. And again, it's the innate immune response. You've got to open up their pathways. The people who are getting trouble post-COVID is because they were not healthy in some way, shape, or form coming into it. So we have to make sure their bowels are moving, their liver, bile ducts moving, their kidneys are working well, so they have to be able to detoxify from it. Most commonly, something was impacted and went off internally that's causing it. So I'll give you an example. Just had someone, same thing, from last, got sick in last year and was, I think, around 7 or 8 months feeling symptoms. And they had a physical condition where their head was rotated and we found the sleep disorder. Well, once we corrected that, they started sleeping through the night and then they were fine. We didn't have to do anything else. And so what happened was the reaction internally from the virus and then the tension in the neck scenario caused the physical part of the sleep disorder, and they never got out of that. So we really don't know what it is. The hardest we've run into are the ones that are looking like the Lyme, and those are people who have a hard time mounting an immune system response because the immune system was dampened for some reason. We see that with people who already have Lyme, who have had mold exposure, who have had SIBO, or intestinal dysbiosis or something like that, or someone who's had one of their like liver dysfunction or things like that. It depends how old the person was. And
I imagine too, living in a chronic state of stress before, I mean, again, the damage that can do to your immune system, not even realizing it. I think there's so many things we sort of quote unquote got away with before COVID, because people could live in fight flight, pedal to the metal, right?
Yeah.
And this really forces you to stop and take a look. And it really is why one of the reasons we have you on every month is because we want people to have a proactive mindset towards health, you know, to even if you're not sick, we'll get healthier because you can do that and it will really serve you well, especially since we are living through a global pandemic. Is Dr. Troy taking new patients?
The clinic is, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. And then natural way to kickstart metabolism to lose weight. You got just a minute. I suppose we need a whole show.
Natural way to kickstart metabolism to lose weight. Okay, so the best thing to do is to help your thyroid. Thyroid is number one. Thyroid is iodine dependent first and foremost. So iodine, there are thyroid supplements that help with metabolism. You have to have high levels of water or good water. And an actual true metabolism, iodine and vitamin D help the most, and then B vitamins. So if you get those vitamins in right, the correct balance, and we're assuming that you can actually digest proteins because you have to have tyrosine, that's an amino acid from protein, to make the thyroid, zinc and selenium convert it. So many thyroid support supplements have those ingredients within them, but you have to have a anti-inflammatory system working. So digestive system has to be moving properly, detoxifying, and you have to sleep. Now, if you still don't have an increase in metabolism, it means that there's a hormone imbalance somewhere or an infection somewhere. So get deep sleep. Of course, you have to move as well, but you have to get the foundation of the thyroid because that's what sets the tone for your entire metabolism. And one of the things that throws it off faster than anything is an inflamed digestive tract and poor sleep.
Wow, this was so good, and we didn't even get to all the questions. So sorry if we weren't able to get to yours, but what an amazing conversation. Doc, you're a busy man, and that you would drive all the way out here and join us in studio to help our listeners means the world to us. Thank you for the time today.
Absolutely. Love
Appreciate it so much. Dr. Troy Spurl, Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. Got a great team of doctors there. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you found some encouragement here, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.